and fake goth girls for fake goths
and fake girls.
I'm Liz Loxley and my pronouns are they them.
And I'm Mia Moore and my pronouns are also they them.
You can talk with us on Twitter at fake goth girls or use the hashtag gothpod.
And if you'd like to throw a coin our way or perhaps purchase our enamel pin or sticker sheet, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/fakegothgirls.
And now on to housekeeping. We did miss last week because I am a sick baby. I currently have a sinus infection. I still have a sinus infection, but on our recording days last week were the days that it became an infection, and I lost my mind a little bit. But we're back today. Hopefully this episode will be a little bit shorter so that I can save my throat and my health. So we will be skipping discussion. But I am feeling better, and no one needs to message me feel better because I then have a message I have to reply to and it gives me pressure. I'm sure you all understand. You're all neurodivergence. All right. What else do we have, Mia?
We have a comment from Kay at K Nyman Art. Nyman? Nyman. Whatever. Sorry, Kay. I know how to say your name, but then I said it out loud and my brain decided, let's just like be weird about it. But she said, catching up on Fake Goth Girls today, and now I have the definite urge to buy some air quality measuring devices. As someone who works in my home all day with windows closed during the cold months, I am so curious to find out what the levels are in here. And number one, thank you for tweeting. I appreciate you. But yeah, I was curious if you had any follow-ups for the air quality discussion. We have not purchased anything to monitor the air quality in our home, but I've still been nerding out about air quality in varying places with my little CO2 monitor, my little I guess not air quality monitor, but my air filtration ventilation monitor. Has anything happened in your house with all the gadgets?
So as you recently may have heard, is I have a sinus infection. And I think part of that is actually caused by us keeping our windows open.
Oh no, I didn't know it could be bad.
Well, I knew it could, and I knew that was the reason I never opened windows, and I think I even might have mentioned this in the episode, is specifically because I'm trying to keep pollens out. Because I knew my dad always had all of his windows growing up, and so you go to his house, and it was nice and fresh and lovely inside, but there was also like dirt everywhere because pollen would just get in, right? So I do think that's part of the cause of this. I don't think it's the only cause of this. I think it's a lot of like mix of allergens. We did buy some plants, which I don't currently have access to the monitor that's in the room that has the plants. But we put plants in the kitchen because obviously the kitchen creates the most toxic stuff. And, so there are specific plants that do absorb toxic stuff. So I haven't checked it since we got the plants. I doubt the plants are big enough to actually do anything, but it still feels nice. There's living things in our house.
Yeah, plants are just nice. Like, you do not need an excuse to get plants. Like, just get them, you know? But if you want an excuse, be like, yeah, I got to clean the air.
Yeah, and we got parlor palms because they were really cheap and easy to take care of. And generally like well regarded as one of the better like air quality plants. But I have no updates there. I think those are like the major ones, is that I think it got me sick, but that doesn't mean I'm not gonna still continue to just, oh yeah. And we did change our air filters like yesterday to like much higher quality ones. But we haven't gotten to check anything since we did that. But I'm curious to see like our big AC having better air filters, if that will. Because obviously before we just got the cheap ones because they were cheap, but this time we're like, we need to replace them anyways. Let's get like the level 9 one.
Yeah, we do what's it called? Like second air or something, but they automatically send you the air filters when it's time to change them. So you don't have to like keep track of that. Just they show up and you're like, I guess it's time to change our filters again. And they have like several different levels of like how well they filter. And we get like the not the best one, but not the worst one, sort of the in between, because we have so many pets and whatnot. So I do think that makes a difference, especially if you change them out like on a regular basis, which, no shade, I did not know you were supposed to do that for an embarrassingly like long period of time into my adulthood. Did not know I was responsible for air filters.
It's because they don't fucking tell you.
No, they really don't. And my God, what I would give for a book that's like, hey, you are in your first apartment, or hey, you are in a house that you're either renting or buying. Like, you know, just like, here's the stuff you need to know about maintaining it. And here's why you do that stuff. Because that's the other thing is, you know, air filters, I feel like, is an easy one. Because if you've ever seen a dirty air filter, you're like, yeah, that's gross. I want to change it. But yeah, they're like, oh, put salt in your water softener. And you're like, what the fuck is a water softener?
Yeah, whenever earlier this year we got contacted by the city that we probably had a water leak. And so we had to find our water meter. Oh my God, it was so hard.
We found our shutoff valve. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but it's found different. Our shutoff. Okay. Well, we had to go find that when the winter storms hit, just in case we needed to, like, if a pipe burst and we needed to turn off the water, lickety split. And it turns out ours was like buried. So yeah, we wouldn't have been able to get to it quickly.
Yeah, it was, ours is buried. It's really, I mean, they're usually close with each other. Like usually you can use one to find the other because they're on the same line. And sometimes they can be next to each other, but probably in the case of your house and the case of my house, they're like in a line of each other. And then like the water meter is probably closest to the street. And then the actual turn off galvanized valve will be closer to your house. But then I found so many other things to like monitor the house. And I'm just like, I didn't know you were here. What are you doing?
Like, I'm only aware of stuff when it breaks, basically, is what I've learned. And that's not good, because I want to do like the preemptive maintenance, especially for stuff like home health, which is a thing we now both care about. I guess this is the home craft section of the episode.
I mean, I find that like taking care of your home is really fun if you know why. And that's what frustrates me the most. Like, I didn't take home ec in high school, but I also am under the impression that's not really what you learn in home ec.
I took home ec, and it was mainly cooking, but in like semi homemade meal style, which is not to shade that, because I think using shortcuts is great. But I would argue it did not necessarily teach like actual cooking skills that you could use. Just like, oh, if you put these two things together, that makes a meal. I did learn how to make some really delicious desserts that was basically like Pillsbury crescent dough plus cinnamon sugar and butter and a marshmallow in the middle. And then when you bake it, the marshmallow melts and it's just like basically a delicious mess. Have not tried to make that vegan.
Is it kind of like monkey bread?
Not like monkey bread, because they were in like muffin tins. So they're like an individual. Mm. Yeah. But I don't even remember what they were called. I just remember being like, this is the one recipe I'm taking away from this, because I already like to cook and bake. So I kind of knew more than that. And then, yeah, it was mostly just like cooking stuff. And I think we might have done one day of like a finance type simulation, but it wasn't helpful because it wasn't.
There's no concept of finance at that age.
Yeah. And there's just not enough context to make it make sense to me, you at that age. Like, you're like, I have X amount of money and rent is this much. And you're like, okay, I guess I pay rent. Like, it's, I don't know. It's not interesting to me the way that they tried to teach it.
Yeah. I wonder like how much of this has to do with like being autistic, because I don't normally like pick up on those stuff. And I also have to know like causality, because to me, like the second I know like, oh, you change your filters this often, filters do this, and this is why you want to change it, it kind of becomes fun, right? Like it becomes fun once you recognize that there's like causality. But before, then you just hear like, oh, change it every 3 months. Okay, why? Where is it? What is it? What does it do? Like, I have too many questions to just take that at face value with how many things you should not take at face value that you're told to do.
Okay, truly, because my first thought was like, okay, so you know when you go to get car stuff done, car chores are another thing I want to learn more about. So I feel like I actually know what I'm doing when I go get a car chore done. So like I went in to get my oil changed by myself. It was the first time I was going by myself. And they were like, oh, we need to replace, I don't remember what they said. I think it was
air filter for sure.
Oh, okay. It was the first time they said, oh yeah, we want to replace your air filter. And they showed me the air filter. And my dad was like, man, that's such a scam. I just got them changed. Like, they're always going to show it to you and it's always going to look like not as good as the fresh new one because it's been used. But like, I had just gotten it. He was like, I just gotten it changed recently. So like, you know, you were actually good on that. And they kind of like scammed you. Not super expensive, but like you didn't need to change it at that moment. But then the next time I went in, and I don't remember, I want to say it was either my wiper blades, which actually did need to be changed, or it was my tires were like nearly bald. which did happen. And one of those times, it was one of those things. And I was like, oh, no, thank you. Like, not going to scam me today. And they were like, no, like, you won't pass the state inspection if you're tires are this bald. I'm like, no. Cool. Like,
yeah, I feel like I am a bit of a car person, like enough to like navigate those situations pretty well. And it is because, you know, my dad taught me, but it was also because I was like very much like, no one's gonna trick me. But also, as I mentioned in a previous episode, I think I mentioned this episode, maybe I haven't, that I'm like super interested in like the mechanics of traffic.
I think we did talk about this.
The most autistic thing I've ever said in my life.
I thought of you the other day because I was merging into a lane, but I waited until the very end to do it. And I was like, Liz told me this is the best traffic pattern.
Mm-hmm. Even if it feels wrong, it is right. just like me yelling at someone for seemingly doing something nice, but actually it's dangerous. Yeah, like, so like tires is something I always keep aware of, you know, like, but there's also stuff that like, I mean, like the air filter thing is a scam, but like you do need to change your air filter and why not do it here? And it's like, oh, because you're going to charge me too much. It's just.
Well, and you do. So there's this YouTube show that you turned me on to that's called Well Actually, and they do nerd trivia. Mm-hmm. But the final round is always real life stuff.
I did get this one right.
I got this one right, too. But it was about like how frequently you change certain things in a car. And people were like trying to find what the incorrect part of the statement was. And I immediately was like, it said you change your air filters every 3 years. That is way too infrequent, only because I know like. It just makes sense to me that you have to change air filters out frequently because I know what they do. But like, I don't know what oil does in a car. I am not embarrassed to admit that. That makes no sense to me. Like, I know the car needs oil to live. Do what?
I could tell you, it'll help you know. It lubes up your engine. So like the mechanics of your engine, mm-hmm. the oil goes through and filters through that to make sure everything works. So as your oil is in there, it gets dirtier. So it becomes less efficient, but also starts like evaporating because it is a liquid. So that's why you change it to have fresh one to make your engine run better. And if you don't change it, then your engine can lock and die.
Okay. See, that's the other thing I need to know is what the actual consequences are, because my oil will be low forever. And I'm like, well, whatever, you know, like it's so hard that I don't know what the reason is that I need to do something.
Low oil is more dangerous than, dirty oil. You can't always keep oil in your garage to add more off, but you should just eventually go in and change the whole thing because they'll like flush the engine and all that stuff too. But yeah, so basically it can kill your engine, but also the recommendation that we grew up with as millennials of every 3,000 miles is no longer accurate with newer cars because they're much more efficient. Mm. So actually you'll find in your user manual for your car, it'll give you a more accurate read on how often you should change it, and it's a lot more like 10,000 miles these days.
Nice. I change it like, you know, when the display says, hey, low oil, like a while after that. So I should probably do it right when it says that. Also, you have never been more butch than this moment, and I really love it for you.
Another thing about the low oil display is that like it's kind of inaccurate. As far as I know on Hondas, at least, is it's not actually reading the quality of your oil. It's more like, oh, it's been this long since the last time you did it. And a more interesting thing, at least with Hondas, because I buy Hondas and keep Hondas, is that when you go to like an oil person, if they're not like if they haven't done it for a while, they won't know to reset that. And so you're going to get out and your light's going to stay on because they didn't reset the light. But you actually, like, there's a setting within it. So I usually go just straight to a Honda dealership or, like, a chain that usually will always know. That's the same thing with, like, tire pressure monitors often these days. Sometimes you do have to drive on them for, like, some miles for it to reset. But I did not know I knew this much about cars.
No, this was not where I thought this was going to go, but I've learned so much that I'm really appreciating like Liz's car corner. And this is the stuff like, it really bums me out, especially like I think about this from an environmental standpoint, is I try to like newer thing, I guess, is trying to really appreciate what I already own and take good care of it. And like for things like clothes, that means mending. That means making sure that like if you're not wearing something because a button popped off, you freaking sew the button on at some point instead of putting it in a pile and then never doing it. Well, The most expensive things I own are probably my car and my house, and I spend such little time maintaining them because I just don't know much about it, and it's so overwhelming to get started. So this is definitely stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need like a Liz's like car and house corner as part of the show.
I mean, that's also like the more I learn about cars and traffic, it gives me more of an appreciation for driving. It's the same thing I was talking about with like getting like a garden and us building the house, is that there's more appreciation because you put your like hands and work in it. And like, for example, like you think you grow up, gender is hard. And so you grow up being taught that you should know how to change your own oil. No, it's a waste of time. I know how to change oil. There's no reason not to just pay someone else to do it. However, knowing how to put the donut on your fucking car, that's something good to know. Like, you never know which of this stuff is like actually important for you to know. And what if it is just like men telling you what's important to know, but actually it's fake.
Yeah. And again, like, I don't want to, a lot of times with car maintenance stuff or even house stuff, it depends on the thing. I'm like, I refuse to be the only person. Like, for a while I worked from home and my partner didn't. And there were certain home maintenance people that I'm like, I'm not, you have to stay home or you have to schedule this on a day you're working from home, because they will try to scam me or they'll talk around me and I won't know. And like, I can't stick up for myself in the way that you can. And rather than try to fight sexism all on my own, I just need you to stay home and fight with the internet man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. This is actually going to come up a little bit and are stoked. But because I know enough about cars that if I'm going for like a car repair or car maintenance, I usually am treated very well. Yeah. Because I know enough to have a conversation with the person that they realize they can't scam me. For example, on my last car, because I didn't drive it for a while, the starter went out and I was able to get it there, but I was like, hey, this is broken. I think it's the starter, blah, blah, blah. And because I come up with like the word starter and like, I was like, oh, the engine doesn't turn. Like, I know these words, right? That I'm treated a lot better because I already have like the base education, rather than if you go up and be like, oh, my car's not turning on, I don't know why. And that's not fair.
No, it's not.
But it's true.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. But yeah, it goes with my whole ethos and the way that I'm trying to live my life more now, living slower, living with less like stuff all the time. And like, what I just get embarrassed when I think about how I treated my last car, and I don't want to treat my current car that way.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be neighbors soon. And yeah. Also, you don't. It's a shared vehicle anyway, so like, you have a partner to take care of it.
That's not wrong. But we also both have ADHD, so like, that's, you know, not helping matters.
Yeah.
Also, no, I don't know totally that he knows what like oil does. I mean, well, maybe oil. I know oil is probably a more common one to know, but like, you know, some of the other stuff.
Well, also a lot of the stuff I know is from like, I've literally been in a car while the engine died from not having enough oil. So I like physically have seen the repercussions.
See, I think that's the other thing is like, I don't drive super a lot. So maybe that's part of it is like, even though I maybe treated my car badly or not ideally, I never faced any sort of consequence for it other than when I did not put gas in it.
That's also why you should drive a Honda, because Hondas are rarely ever going to punish you.
Literally, like I tried to drive my last car, which was a Honda, into the ground before buying another car. And I actually literally wasn't able to do it. I had it for at least 10 years. And we had to end up selling it, which was not the plan. I mean, it was fine. I was fine with selling it, but because we had a baby and we wanted a bigger car for baby reasons. And I was like, man, I really thought this car was going to die at some point, but I've had no major issues with it at any point. Wild.
Yeah, no. Another thing you must know about me, and if you now know how much I know about cars, trust me, never buy an American car. Ever. No,
yeah, I it's not a plan for me. Like, I hear people say that, but also it's just the American brands don't appeal to me in any amount that I care about cars. They're not catering to it.
No, but yeah, that's like, yeah, I have very, very strong feelings about that. But yeah, Hondas take care of themselves often. And that's like, because the only reason I don't have my old Honda is because we also upgraded due to family change lifestyles.
Yeah.
Anyways. Apparently, our discussion of the week is actually about cars.
Cars and houses, but yeah. You know more about cars.
I love cars. it is weird, like, caring about the environment, but also, like, knowing I'm going to get a car from a midlife crisis. Like, that's what I want. I'm either, but it's going to be electric, and it's either going to be a sports car or a truck, depending on what exists at the time I go through my midlife crisis.
I mean, also, we can't all do it all. So no. I think that's...
And at least I'm getting an EV.
Yeah. I mean, it still takes resources to make an EV and all that, but whatever. Yeah. Like,
and also you have to consider like the mining of the battery goods and
yeah,
that can destroy the like, ocean floor. You know,
a lot of stuff, the impact is actually like the creation, not necessarily, well, and also the destruction, like where does the car go when it's no longer running? But I mean, you also, we live in places in the world where like you have to have a car. So if you, as long as you're not like collecting a garage full of many different types of cars, I think you're fine.
No, I either get one for pleasure driving or one for, I mean, both would be that. I just like driving. Okay. Let's move on to what we're stoked about this week. Hey, Mia, what are you stoked about this week?
Okay. What I'm stoked about is I did a little creative project. So several, oh my God, maybe a year ago, I think I was actually pregnant when I picked this up. I went to, and oh God, that would have been more than a year ago because my kid is now 14 months old. I'm having a crisis.
Holy balls.
I can't handle it. Anyway, on Buy Nothing, I got a gumball machine. It is like a really nice, the base is made of cast iron. The bowl is glass. The glass does say Jelly Belly on one side, but I was like, I'm going to make this over. I'm going to do something interesting with it. And I just couldn't decide. Like, I kind of wanted to make it a planter, but then I was like, is that even a, like, I know based on what I know about plants, this is not like a good planter. This is not like where a plant is like, wow, this is the Chevrolet of planters. That's a good car, right? I said that and I was like, I don't know about cars.
It is American made.
Damn. Okay. Well, whatever. This is like a sports car. This is a luxury car of planters. Like, I know it's lacking some of the core features that a planter needs. Like, for example, a drainage hole. I have not successfully kept a lot of plants.
So alive. Then because it's lacking core features, it would be like an American made car. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh no, we're stuck here forever for the rest of the episode.
You will make it not.
Oh no, not again. Every week. But every Truly. Week it's either something different or it's just 9/11 all over again.
Amen.
Now you're going to tell me how cars are related to 9/11 and I don't want to know. Anyway, so I had this gumball machine. And finally, after like a lot of stopping and starting, like I painted the base pink because it was red and I wanted it pink, but it was the wrong pink. And it took me a while to get the right pink. And then I got the right pink. And then I was like, well, the metal is silver and I kind of want it to be this rose gold paint that I have. And so it took me a while to like actually get things rolling. But I did it and I painted it and I did a little makeover and I tried like several different ways to get the Jelly Belly logo off the glass. But it turns out it's probably kiln fired into the glass because that is how these gumball machines are made. Anyway, I learned a lot. I can buy a dome for it separate. So if it really is a deal breaker when I finish assembling it, then I can always do that. But my current plan is to make it a planter and to just cover, like put the Jelly Belly logo in the backside and just cover it with like dirt and plant so you can't see it.
Is it 3D or is it like kind of like etched like on the...
It's not etched, which is why I originally thought I could use like rubbing alcohol or paint thinner to get it off. But it seems like it is like fired in with a kiln.
Okay. Just saying we can make a vinyl cover for it as well.
Well, but it's glass, so it's on both sides. I mean, I guess we could put a thing on both sides. But yeah, whatever. There are solutions. I was happy with it. And then I posted a picture and people were like, are you going to take the Jelly Belly off? And I was like, I guess I'll try again. But yeah, it's not coming off, dude. Like,
I'm just reminding you, I have a Cricut at all points. I need to use it for something.
Okay. Now that makes sense. but if it really bothers me, I'll just buy a new glass dome. They're not that expensive. And I found the one that fits it. Like, it'll be fine. But what's really cool is at the bottom is like this really nice, like again, this cast iron base. It's very cool looking. So I'm stoked about that. I'm just stoked that I had time for a creative project and then it turned out good and that like I don't know, it's making my little brain juice happy. And like half of the materials, like I got the gumball machine itself from Buy Nothing, so that was free and repurposed. And I used like either paint that I've had for 10 years, not a joke, or paint that I got at a secondhand craft supply store. So it's just all like secondhand stuff. And it makes me happy that I was able to make like a little art project with reused materials.
It is really nice when the ADHD gods let you have dopamine for using stuff you already have.
Please, ADHD gods. It's true. Well, that was part of my goal with it too. I was like, I knew I didn't want to do anything super buck wild with it. So I was like, surely I can use mostly what I already own. And I could, other than the pink paint that was not the correct pink, but I fixed that. What are you stoked about this week?
So as you might have heard, I have a sinus infection right now. I sound fine because I'm on medicine right now, but I definitely am a little not as smart as usual, as you can tell by the structure of that sentence. So I've been sick since my birthday, which is on the 15th, and it's gotten worse, better. I'm on the better side now, but it's still bad enough that like I had tickets to go to a concert last night, and I was just like, it's just not safe for me to go. Like, I can't wear a mask for that long with a sinus infection. I will actually pass away. And I'm not going to a concert without a mask, and especially not when I'm sick. Even though I'm not contagious, I'm still just not going to be that person. And so I was really bummed out about that. And because I had to cancel out of that, I've just been like, I mean, I've been dealing with a lot of depression because I've been sick. And when you're sick, it leads to depression often because you can't do anything. And so I was just really bummed out. And then I have to like do a lot of stuff this week. And in addition, next week I have a wrestling event on Halloween, and I'm really looking forward to that. And I was like, well, sinus infections could take a really long time to like fully cure. And what if I'm still bad enough that I don't feel comfortable wearing a mask by then? Then I'm going to be really sad. So I was like, fine, I'll go to the doctor tomorrow. And then I'm like eating dinner. I remember fucking virtual doctors exist, which like I've literally never used one before. So I kind of just don't think about it. Like I use like the CVS clinics a lot. But I was like, oh yeah, CVS has like a call-in clinic. And I didn't use their version. I used the version that comes with my health insurance. But so anyways, in the middle of dinner, because I have ADHD, I was like, all right, let's go to the doctor.
My favorite part is that, so this was literally today, and it was like maybe an hour before we were supposed to record. And you're like, wait, pause dinner. I have to do this right this second. Okay, 2 hours.
Because I thought it was a reasonable amount of time.
No, that is a reasonable amount of time. But my brain would have been like, oh, I'm in waiting mode because I have this thing later. I can't possibly do this now. It was just very, very funny to me. But also good for you.
It's very funny because I can tell like my brain, because it's been so desperately sick for so long, that because my brain's at least somewhat better, it's trying to make up for it in very strange ways. Like last night, I wanted to get a snack from the freezer, and I got so frustrated with our freezer that I completely reorganized the freezer, got rid of everything that's expired, and made a log of everything we have in our freezer. And I was like, Jesus Christ, ADHD, I get that you haven't got to act up in a week, but this is too much.
Yeah, calm down.
Anyway, so I get there, and like, a pretty common theme of this podcast is I now have really good doctors, but I've had really, really horrific experience with doctors. And so usually when going to a strange doctor, I'm pretty scared. And especially just like a random one that was available whenever like I booked this appointment. And I will say
historically, Teladoc has not been like the source of my most empathetic or kind or takes a lot of time on you type doctors. It's usually just like, hey, I know I have an ear infection because for some rude reason I have an ear camera at my house. Here's a picture of it. Can I have some antibiotics?
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was expecting, because I was like, I can go in with all the, like, I know my body. Like I knew going in that this was not a viral infection, like a contagious one, and that it is a viral. It's not a bacterial. So you can have two different kinds of sinus infections. One is essentially completely within you, just like mechanical. And one is like viral I keep saying the wrong words. One is like COVID, like it can transfer and can be contagious. And has like germies. So I knew this wasn't the bad kind because I didn't have a fever. And also my body reacts pretty in pretty specific ways to viral infections or whatever. I'm saying the wrong words. What I mean.
Yeah. Also Liz did take several COVID tests in case you are like me and you just need to hear that at all times.
Yeah. I did tell the doctor and he's like, ooh, you can tell he's not used to people trying that.
God, kill me.
But So, you know, I was like, all right, it's been a week. I really don't want to miss out on this thing. I'm just going to go and get a Z-Pak or whatever, even though I really don't want to take antibacterials. I try to avoid it, like, because I know my body and I know how I react to infections. I know when I need one and I will go to the doctor. And that's something I tell my family when they tell me to go to the doctor. I'm like, I know my body well enough, at least, that I know when I need antibacterial. Like, I know when I need penicillin and I'll go get it when I need it. And this is not one of those occasions, but because it's been so long, I was like, I need help. I'm still so tired. I still feel like shit. Not as bad, but I just want it over with. And so I went to him and he was really late, which at first I thought was a bad sign, but then immediately realized why. And it's because he's like, he's clearly in this just to meet people and help them get on the right medicine. Like, he clearly is just like, yeah. So it's very strange because obviously he was telling me like how long their days were and like how many people they can meet a day. Like, he was very just like open and like conversational. And it was one of those occasions where I do think the attitude I bring into doctors now gives me a good attitude back more often. Because like I left a little note that was like fairly well educated. I was like, this is the day it happened. Here's what happened. It's slightly better now. Here's the medicine I've been taking. I don't really want to do this, but I don't know where else to be from now on. Like, I was just very straightforward. I come to like with an educated background, which is like fucked up. I shouldn't have to, right? Like, be very aware. I'm aware that I shouldn't have to, but I did have to learn really hard how to advocate for myself as a doctor, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was really nice because like, he is a military doctor, which sometimes can be really, it's either or, right? With military, they're either like some of the nicest people you meet or just like terrifying people. He was much closer on the nicer side. He had been at one point at the Air Force Base in Wichita Falls, which I lived in Wichita Falls for like 5 years. So we talked about that. And he's just like, it's very rare you meet anyone who even knows that Wichita Falls exists. And like, hey, the fact that I know this about him is like, okay, that's why he was late. But when we got to talking about the infection, there was just like a lot of ways that he talked to me that I found kind of, I'm not going to say profound because that's too big of a word for it, but it was just really nice. It's also some like good solid information that like I might as well share here. So first off, while I did pre-fill out my medication form, apparently I didn't get to him. So we had to like re-go over my medications. And he's like, okay, are you allergic to any medications? I was like, yeah, I'm allergic to statins, which if y'all don't know, which like anyone over 30 knows what a statin is pretty much, but that's just like a cholesterol med. Everyone over a certain age is literally on cholesterol meds. So everyone knows what statins are at a certain point in their life. I'm allergic to statins, so I'm on like a different kind of cholesterol med. And he's like, oh, did you have muscle pain? And I'm like, I literally was like, oh, so you're telling me it took a month for me to figure out why I felt like that? And you're just going to sit here and be like, oh, did you have muscle pain? Because yes, I did.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like, yeah, I'm surprised your doctor didn't tell you that. And I'm like, I have a good guy, but he's like, trusts you know what you're doing and doesn't really go into details, you know? Like, he's my doctor is great, but he maybe trusts you too much. And he was like, yeah, there's a couple medicines like I always warn people on. Like, that's one. Metformin is one, which is funny because I'm also on metformin. And while my doctor didn't tell me about the side effects, because I really think he just trusts me to look up the side effects on my own, which he's not wrong, but I always forget to. But my therapist had actually told me about the side effects, which like metformin can make you have like the worst gastrointestinal issues ever. It didn't happen to me, thank God, because I love metformin.
Also didn't happen to me when I was on it. And I found out because like if you Google any resources for people with PCOS and they're like actual people-centered resources, not like necessarily like WebMD or whatever, everyone's like, you do not have to be on metformin just because you have PCOS, because it depends on your symptoms and it depends on this and it may not actually work for you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why are people so anti-metformin? And then all the comments are like, yeah, I died. I'm like, oh, okay, shit.
Yeah, no, metformin made like we'll get more into this. Okay. And so, you know, he was really friendly and like girls were going further. He goes and sees like, I'm on this medicine called Combiglyze, which is a mix of saxagliptin, I think is how you say the first part, and metformin. He's like, oh, so you are on metformin. You know about that. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I love that medicine. It changed my life. Like, it's the best. He's like, yeah. And I was like, also, you're the very first doctor I've ever gone to that isn't my primary care who's ever not freaked out over that. Because everyone I go to has never heard of it. Even when I go to a fucking pharmacist, they're like, what's that? Like, you're giving it to me.
What?
Because it's Combiglyze is like a name because it's a mix of two medicines. So like, he's like, yeah, I love medicine mixes. If you can get your insurance to cover them, I love to prescribe them because they're just so helpful. And I was like, that's wild. Like, this guy clearly loves like pharmaceuticals, but in a way that's like genuinely like non-judgmental and just like, this is how it helps the body. Like, there was no like, just nothing in him that had like a judgment towards any of the medications I'm on. Cause I'm on a lot. Oh, I'm on like three prescribed medications and three, one over the counter and three, what do you call like a vitamins and supplements.
Yeah.
And so, and then we get to the supplements part and I take a supplement, called inositol, which was recommended to me by my, gynae. OBGYN, there we go. I just watched the Taskmaster episode where like she's like, I can pretend to give birth, but like not in a gynae way. So I knew that was the only way I was going to remember the word OBGYN.
Oh my God.
And so he's like, oh, I've never heard of that. And like while we're in there, he like looks it up and he's like, oh, so it's basically like a sugar. And I was like, yeah, I was told to take it for PCOS because it apparently helps. Because I was like, yeah, I have the PCOS that turned into type 2. You know, it happens. He's like, yeah, it happens. And I was like, so they're like, yeah, it should help your blood sugars regulate to a certain degree. So I've been taking it. I don't know if it does anything, but it doesn't hurt.
And yeah, it was just, I mean, like, it's literally wild. No side effects as far as I know. So
it's just kind of wild to see like a doctor be like, oh, I don't know what that is. I'm going to look it up right now. Oh, that's cool.
Like, right. Because I think doctors are usually so defensive of that kind of thing. Like, and oh, like, you didn't hear about it from me, therefore it's not real, even if you heard about it from literally another doctor.
And he's a nurse practitioner, which is like basically a doctor with missing like I looked it up and they are like much higher trained than a nurse. So the nurse practitioner is misleading. Not that nurses aren't highly trained. Please know I have a lot of respect for nurses who aren't bitches because y'all know
about the mean girl to the nurse pipeline.
Because if anyone's ever stayed in a hospital, you know nurses are not made equal. But yeah, and so he's just really fucking cool about everything. And then he gets to like the problem. He's like, so everything you're describing doesn't sound like a bacterial infection. It sounds viral, so it means you don't have to worry. We don't have to put you on antibacterials. I'm like, awesome, because I try to be, because you can get immune to those, like they can stop working.
Antibiotic immunity.
Yeah,
also, I try, you're still to saying avoid it backwards, them. But I just, nobody has to say anything.
I don't think it's, I okay. Am.
Well, you keep saying it's not viral or it's not bacterial, but it's not viral because it's not contagious.
Yeah, but I think it is called a. I can't remember the word for it. If
it's a sinus infection, bacterial or viral? Thank you, Google.
It's both. You can have one of each.
Oh, it is both. Oh, that's not helpful.
And so a viral one is, I think, the one that you get from like allergies. And a bacterial one is the one you get from like bacteria. And so a viral
the other
one,
way around. I know that's confusing.
See, I fucking can't remember. It's no, so hard, but one makes you really sick and one makes you only kind of sick. And I have the only kind of sick one that isn't going to get someone else sick. That is what is happening. So confusing.
It's very confusing.
It's very specifically confusing with sinus
infections. Okay. So viral sinus infections are much more common than a bacterial one. With viral sinusitis, a virus infects the lining, blah, blah, blah. And that's when you're contagious. A bacterial one is less common. It's caused by bacteria infecting the lining of your facial and nasal cavities. So,
okay, so it's reverse, but also correct.
Yes.
Got it. Cool. Thank you. Anyways, I knew I had the one that wasn't super, like, I knew I had the one that didn't need bacteria. Didn't need a Z-Pack. Anyways. he was like, so the main thing that causes this is allergies, which I knew was the case because we had our windows open so much. I was sleeping with a cat. Like, I knew my allergies were out of whack and I couldn't figure out how to make them better because I didn't know how to make them better. Like, I just take Zyrtec every day and was like, I guess I'll go to I'll figure out what kind of doctor you go to allergies for later, because I literally don't know if it's like ear, nose, throat, or is it like an allergist doctor, or do you just go to your PCP and they tell you if you need more? Like, I had no idea where to go for allergies.
I think any of those are a good place to start.
So like, I hadn't gotten to that part. Like it was on my list because it was getting so bad, but then I got sick. Right. So like, it wasn't my initial plans to go figure out how to do with it. And he's like, yeah, so you're not doing like the main line of defense you should be doing for allergies. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, so you should be taking like, a spray, like you should be doing a nasal spray. And I was like, well, I thought those were habit forming. And he's like, that's only one kind that's habit forming. Most aren't habit forming. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? My entire life, I've thought these were habit forming. So I've just literally never looked at them. And they're actually like the best thing to take for her. What?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And
I didn't know you didn't know. I don't like taking nasal spray because the sensation makes me want to die. So I'll only do it if I really have to.
But so he lived in Wichita Falls, which Wichita Falls is one of the worst allergen places in the States. He lives in Arizona now, which is also a bad mountains. I know we have a lot of non-US listeners. Basically, the way that our mountain ranges are affect how bad your allergens are because of the way that air moves within the air patterns of the states. And so Texas is a really bad place for allergies. So is Arizona because it's in between two mountain ranges.
Okay. You said that for our non-US listeners, but I also didn't know that was why.
I guess people without significant allergies, because you're new to seasonal allergies, right?
I had them a lot as a kid, but I kind of outgrew them. And then I think more likely, I just don't realize that what is happening to me is allergies. And it's not so bad and so obvious that I do anything about it.
I only learned all this when I moved to Wichita Falls, because Wichita Falls is the windiest place in Texas, and therefore you get wind from both sides, so you get allergens from multiple places of the U.S. Oh. So it has a really high density of allergens.
Gotcha. Okay. I am learning so much today on this episode.
So anyways, he's like, yeah, that's the first thing you need to do, and you should take that with Zyrtec. But also when you feel like your allergy is getting worse, because like right now it's a change of seasons, which is a time, that you should double up on either one or both of them. And I was like, I didn't know you could double up on Zyrtec. Like, I didn't know you could double up on, I mean, I didn't know you could take Nasacort without fucking like becoming an addict. Because for me, I thought it was the same thing with like ChapStick, where you become kind of like addicted to the sensation of like the way it feels, and that your lips become dependent on it. So like, I thought it was kind of the same thing, where like your sinuses came dependent on the like liquid that it gives you. And so that's why I thought it was a whole cloth thing rather than a medicine thing.
Gotcha.
I mean, it makes total sense. I was like, oh, and so and it was non-judgmental. He's just like, yeah, you're not doing the main thing you could be doing to help yourself in the long run. So he's like, start doing that. And he like told me like the best way to take it, how to take it, what it does, how it works. And like, that was just kind of impressive. He's like, yeah, especially right now, you should take it in the morning after you take a hot shower. So you open up your sinuses and they're really clear and really accepting to like new stuff. You don't have to breathe
not
it
your
in.
Accepting sinuses.
Like, I was just like, this is just such like straightforward, easy information that I totally understand now, and now how to understand how to like take it into my life. And he's like, yeah, this is literally my allergen like, this is what I do. I used to get sinus infections all the time, and now I haven't had one in like 10 years. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then he was also like, take a spoonful of honey before you go to sleep. So the main part that's really affecting my life right now is that I can't sleep, because what'll happen is while I'm asleep, the like sinuses will get so bad, I'll become painful and annoying and all of that. And then I can't fall back asleep. So I'm very tired, but I can't sleep. So I've been taking, I like Alka-Seltzer for cold medicine. It's the only kind I'll take. So I've been doing a sinus version of Alka-Seltzer to sleep, but it doesn't last all night. And he's like, yeah, so you can actually like swallow a spoonful of honey, and that, I don't quite understand, but essentially it coats the throat. So like all of the like drainage doesn't irritate you and wake you up. And he's like, I think he could tell the back of my brain was like, this sounds like quackery. Because he then directly said, this is really like, he was like, this is scientifically studied. Like, it's shown to be more effective than Robitussin or anything like that you can do. Like, it is a well-documented thing that works. And, like, I think he could just tell that I was such, like, a practical, like, science-based person. Because even at one point, he's like, you know, if you believe in flu vaccines? I was like, oh, I already got it, baby. What are you talking about? And it was just, it was so nice to just have someone just be like, not assume I know anything, but also not assume I don't know it out of like ignorance. You know, like it was just like, oh, this is information I have that you don't let me share it.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a really positive experience. And also, you said like, oh, this is his allergy care routine. And that's the kind of YouTube content I want to see. This is my spring home maintenance routine. This is my allergy care routine. Like, come on, dude.
And it not be by fucking people who are going to be in the all right in 5 years. Yeah.
Stop.
It was a really nice experience. And like, those are things that like, I'm going to now be able to take into the rest of my life. You know, like that's like a really long-term helpful solutions. And he was like, he did give me a prescription because he could tell like, I really just want to get over like the hump of this. And he's like, so I can prescribe you a steroid if that's what you want. I'm like, I do. Thank you.
And he's like, I'm going to see wrestling next week. He's like, say no more, fam.
Well, I also see you on Friday and I don't want to be sick for that.
Yeah, that's
so, like.
I am pretty great.
He was also like, don't take it tonight because it will make you, and I've taken steroids before, but I always forget this, that like it makes you really excitable. Like it makes you very hyper.
Yeah.
And I forget that every single time. I know that, but I forget that. He's like, so don't take it tonight, start tomorrow. And I was just like, it was just very helpful, not judgmental. Like I learned a lot of stuff. Hopefully you all know that you can now take a spoonful of honey if you have drainage and it should help you sleep through the night and that it's like a real thing. I never knew that. I know a lot of you are vegans, but I know honey is a controversial topic with vegans, so y'all might be okay with it. And also it's medical, which is also most of the vegans that listen to this when it comes to medicine are like, yeah, it's fine.
I mean, medicine's a whole different, unfortunately a lot of it is not it doesn't have an alternative.
Yeah, and sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, like you gotta live,
unfortunately.
Woof.
But yeah, that was like, I don't know. I hope that that's practical information for y'all as well. I don't know if that was interesting at all or told well at all. I'll know when I edit this.
I thought it was good.
I found it to be like a really like fruitful experience. And if anyone else is suffering from allergies, hey, you can double up on Zyrtec and you can double up on the sinus medicines. He said for the sinus medicines, it's better to do like morning and night rather than 4 a.m. because then you're just like just shoving a shit ton of water in your nose. And it's like, why at that point? I was like, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take another Zyrtec today. Going to get risky.
I hope you sleep better tonight or tomorrow, whenever some of this stuff is more applicable, maybe. But yeah, I hope that helped a lot, because that's the other thing is sometimes I forget stuff like sinus infections can be mitigated. Like, that sounds so stupid, but like, if it doesn't require an antibiotic, sometimes I'm like, that's it, nothing else can be done, I'll just be miserable. So yeah, I'm glad you saw a doctor, and I'm also glad that you got like life tips.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I knew taking care of my allergies would have stopped this from beginning, but I didn't know how practical the options were. Like, I thought it was definitely going to be like, oh, actually, you need to take specifically this one and this one, and then they're a combo. Actually, today, I went to CVS earlier today to get more Alka-Seltzer, and I went to this Alka-Seltzer that I wanted was, because I got the sinus one, was on the same aisle as all of the allergy meds, and so I was looking at them because I was just kind of like, what is available beyond Zyrtec, because I knew that was a problem. And like, there's this company called Picnic, which I don't know anything about, but they had like multiple options of allergy meds, and I was just like, for one company to have multiple options, that's not something I'd seen. And it was really like, oh yeah, like this is like a thing that you might need to attack with multiple medicines from multiple areas, because like, we all know that like Benadryl and Zyrtec are different, but none of us know why, like really know why.
Okay. I literally just found out, like, and I don't even remember, so I'm not going to say it correctly, but like, I always thought all the painkillers were basically the same, just different formulations. But it turns out one of them also helps with swelling. So if you have a thing that is the problem and why you're having pain is because of swelling, you need to take that one instead of the other one. And I was like, I'm so fucking stupid. Like, this whole time.
Isn't that acetaminophen? Yeah.
I think so, because so whichever one Motrin is, I found this out because of my baby, because they say Motrin, which I believe is acetaminophen, but it could be ibuprofen, because I always mix those two up, and Colby's like, what is wrong with you? These are two different words. And I'm like, I don't know. They're both long. Motrin is ibuprofen.
Yes.
Okay. So ibuprofen reduces swelling, and I found that out because they were saying you want to use Motrin for teething because it will help with like the swelling of the gums, and that's where a lot of the pain is. And I was like, I didn't even realize that there was a difference. I've been on this earth for 30 years.
It's interesting because the only reason I've started, okay, this is the reason I know the difference, because, and I don't really know the difference in actual practicality. I just know we have ibuprofen in our house, which is the NSAID, which is like often have reactions with other medicines. So it's just something you need to be aware that you're taking an NSAID.
Mm-hmm.
But acetaminophen, which is the other kind, is dangerous. That's Tylenol.
Okay, but interestingly, when you're a baby, you can only have Tylenol for the first like 6 months of your life. So
Tylenol is essentially Tylenol can poison your liver and you can die. And it's very, very easy to overdose on Tylenol.
Okay, but I think that's also true of some of the other ones.
Not as much.
Yeah, but it is possible.
Oh yeah. But like it's hilarious. It's not hilarious, but it's like hilarious how much they undersell how dangerous Tylenol can be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another reason
why. It's also wild that like you just have to become an adult, read the side effects of your medication, read why that side effects happen, and then you understand. You have to have a baby.
You have to have a baby.
And then you have to be like, oh, it's this specific kind of sickness. Only give them Motrin. Which, like, the fuck?
Which, like, I was mostly giving him Motrin because it lasts longer. Not because I knew there was a difference otherwise, you know? I'm like, painkillers are painkillers, whatever. Anyway, all this to say, apparently I need to know the reasons behind everything to live a better life.
Part of the thing is that we don't know why painkillers work.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's true of like a lot of medicine.
Yes, but it's more frightening with painkillers.
Well, painkillers, but also psychiatric meds, not knowing really how they work and why they work and why they work for some people and not other people. That freaks me out.
Yeah, shit's wild out there, Van. We should definitely put like a trigger warning on this. I'm just calling that out because it's a lot of pharmaceutical talk.
That's true. Okay.
But yeah, shit's wild out there. I can't believe like, not even knowing the basics like this, despite having been sick for so long now, that like there's still just so much that like if we as a nation knew, I bet we would save more in healthcare than whatever they say like fat people cause.
Tell me
what the fuck the difference between acetaminophen and ibuprofen is in school and why I should be taking one and the other.
Literally.
Okay. Okay, let's move on to the first date question where you learn to make an effort to learn more about each other. This week, the first date question was asked by me, and it's a simple question this week, inspired by a lot of TikToks I've been watching. What is your favorite type of home decor? And you don't have to give a specific name, just like vibes, baby.
Okay, good, because I don't know like names of home decor. I like a gallery wall. I like a color, like an accent wall, like some paint. And I feel like if it were up to me, I would have a pink kitchen. That's always been my dream, with Hello Kitty appliances or like the pink Smeg appliances. But it's not only up to me, so that will probably never happen, which is fine.
Yes, it will. We're going to move in and we're going to have a coffee corner, and it's going to be where we get to have our dream pink kitchens because the boys can't say shit.
Okay. It will happen, but not to the extent that I originally thought, but it will happen.
I'm not letting us lose this dream.
I actually forgot that we had talked about this specific thing and that you were like, no, it's happening. That's amazing. I'm glad I have no memory because it just makes delightful things delightful a second time.
Truly.
And then also like, yeah, what was I going to say? Like, oh, wallpaper. I'm actually very into wallpaper. And I think if I had more, if I didn't live with a partner who was like, wallpaper is tacky and ugly, I would have more wallpaper. I'm already thinking that like my office or my stream space in the next house might have wallpaper on one of the walls. That's a thing I'm thinking about. But I wouldn't say I'm like maximalist, but I'm definitely not minimalist. And I like a lot of things. I like my knickknacks. My mom has always said, you like a knickknack. I have tchotchkes. So I like to have the tchotchkes on display.
Truly, it's
Oh, also, I'm kind of a grandma, so I have... This is like I keep my toothbrush in a vintage toothpick holder thing that's shaped like a cat. I just loved like little figurines and stuff. I don't know.
I also have a toothbrush holder that's a ceramic cat.
Wait, what? No, I didn't know this.
Yeah, mine's from Daiso though, but yeah, same.
Mine's from Buy Nothing, and it was originally her mom's, and then she was like letting go of it and was really sad about it, and I was like, I promise I'll give it a good home, but I use it for my toothbrush, so I don't know, I feel a little bad about that.
Yeah,
but I look at it every day and I love it.
God, we're both the exact same level of corny, aren't we?
I just want to make sure that, you know, if she let go of it and it had such memories for her, that it has a good place in my house too.
Totally get it, man. I feel like that's being loved.
Yeah. No, I see it every day, and every day I pull my toothbrush out and I go, oh, I'm so glad I have this. Like, I literally am grateful for it every day.
I love that.
What about you? What are your house vibes?
So there are two people I follow on TikTok that I specifically, like, there's a couple people, but actually I'm just going to name one person because I feel like their house decor is what I would do if I had unlimited resources and no one's stopping me.
You say that, it just sounds like a threat.
It is. I do believe their username is Gorgon Glare, and that will be in the notes. And it's just, it's kind of like kitschy maximalist with like all of the colors. And the reason that I like talking about home decor, and we've talked about this a lot in like our personal lives, is that coming to the realization that our personal style for ourselves and our home decor are not the same. And yeah, it's very weird to realize they don't have to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because like my office is covered in toys. It's bright colors. I'd say like the predominant colors are like pink, purple, and bright pink. Like, yeah, I mean it in the way I said it. And so just, like
50 shades of pink.
Yeah. And then there's like some lime green, some like bright blues. Like there's just like lots of colors, lots of bold. And like, it's not the main way I would design if I actually like sat down the time to design. But then like my personal style, I tried dressing like this for a couple years, realized it wasn't right. My personal style very much is like black, white, oxblood, and forest green. That's just what I like to wear. It's like kind of the opposite. And so it's weird coming to realizations they don't have to match. And yeah, I really love color, and I'm not wrong. I'm correct. And I could go on a very long rant about this, but I will not. Enjoying color and putting color into design is an act of rebellion, because minimalism and sleekness is white supremacy, and you cannot and you will not change my mind on that. So to me, it's also like having a bright, colorful house that's maximalist and full of tchotchkes and full of little things that you found all over your life and you love and just create a connection to. Like, that's like the best thing in the world. And like, minimalism is fucking boring.
I will say, like, but minimalism as a design aesthetic is rooted in white supremacy, and some of the like lifestyle stuff is definitely rooted in privilege, if not straight up white supremacy. But I think like you can also be a minimalist and not necessarily be those things.
No, but it's still rooting from that, regardless of whether or not that's your personal taste. The root of that is in white supremacy, and the enjoyment of a sterile environment is, regardless if you know that or if you're cognitively aware of the history of it.
Okay, I think that's probably a fair statement. But also,
the
like,
best way, the best and quickest way to explain this is the fact that like David and all those Greek statues are actually colorful.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be colorful, but they've been whitewashed to portray a specific aesthetic.
Yeah, I guess like my aesthetic is probably more, it's much more maximalist than it is minimalist. So I'm not like defending this from a like minimalism is my homeboy, we're best friends kind of perspective. But I do think like I have collected so much stuff over the years because of consumerism. So the part of minimalism that I like is the part where it's also anti-consumer, but not the part
that's
where,
not what the aesthetic of it is.
Right.
By any means, it's actually the opposite.
Right.
because
that's what I'm saying is like that's where that's when it's rooted in privilege, is when people are like, oh, if it's less than $20 and I'm thinking of decluttering it, I just declutter it because if I need it again, I'll buy it again. And it's like, whoa, have you not thought about the privilege inherent in that statement and like the ability of you to do that? And also that is not anti-capitalist. And
But also the aesthetic of minimalism of white, black, pure lines does come from essentially a fear of like Orientalism and all of those things.
Yes.
So maximalism is punk, long story short. And I just want more people to see this person's house on TikTok because I think it'll bring a lot of people joy. And most of her content is just of her house.
There's some maximalism stuff that goes a little too far for me to feel like it's like a safe place to sit in a room and like exist without it feeling like the walls are closing in on me and there's just too much. Because again, ADHD, my brain's already going 1,000 miles an hour. I don't need like that much shit to look at. Or like too many clashing patterns can give me that sort of anxiety as well. But like, I do admire people that can do maximalism like really well, where it looks intentional and it feels cozy and inviting and not scary.
That's what I love specifically about this person's house, is because they like, I feel like they reach the exact pinnacle of it. Where like, because it like, I have a partner who gets really dizzy off a lot of patterns. Like whenever we were talking about like, we were talking about like potentially putting tile on something, and I had to like go through multiple tiles to be like, does this give you, make you dizzy? Does this make you sick? Does it? So like, I totally respect and understand that. I also understand like, choosing not to have a lot of stuff just because you don't need a lot of stuff, and it's not a design choice, and all of those things. But like, just specifically the way that this person takes it to the very edge and doesn't go over is so impressive. Because like, the best way to explain their style is like grandma style, but bright and bold colors.
I'm already into this. I'm sure you've showed me their stuff.
I don't think I have, to be honest, unless I've shown you like a very specific part of their house that I was like, I love this.
Oh, okay. Well, then I look forward to seeing it because that sounds like my vibe.
But yeah, I don't know. I didn't realize everything to me is always going to come down to white supremacy, because I fucking see the Matrix and life is really hard to live whenever you just see the Matrix all the time.
I mean, that's fair. But I guess like, it's weird because I'm usually such a black and white thinker, but I'm like, whoa, like let's, because there's parts of minimalism that I want to learn from, but also that's not my aesthetic.
So I don't think, to me, minimalism is kind of the word to just, because, and to me, like, I very much like associate it with like think about like the Kim Kardashian type of minimalism. Of vast open spaces, little in them. I can afford this space. It doesn't even need to be, have anything in it. Right.
Right.
And so I cannot say the word, but I'm going to try to, and I'm not sure if you're going to even know the word that I'm trying to say. It is usually used in like religious terms with like monks. And it starts with A, and it's like ascetism, and it's like the idea of like,
yeah, I know the word, but I don't know how to say it because I've only ever read it.
Exactly. And I think like that's more of the concept you're defending, which is different.
Yeah,
because you're defending the concept of intentional clarity and intentional use and taking care of what you have, making sure it feels nice and it feels good to you, but that the core of minimalism is rooted in white supremacy. Fact.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I do think like, I think it's also,
and it's also one of those things that like you can do and like things that are rooted in white supremacy.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like I do for sure. I don't know everything that's rooted in white supremacy. Most everything we do is, that's just life. In fucking Western countries.
And so I do think like, so I consume some minimalism content, not a ton, because the default is to consume, but I'm very careful that it's not, I think minimalism is just the easy to Google like SEO term for it, but really it's like anti-consumer is more what I'm at, because I follow folks or like even just like ethical shopping, ethical home decor, right? Like obtaining things in a way where you are thinking about it, where you're considering it, you're considering it, where it would have a place in your home, or if you were eventually done with it, what you would do with it after, like all the different pieces of it. But it's not just like having less for having less's sake. So maybe that's the other thing, is like, I'm not defending like necessarily the aesthetic of not having a bunch, because that doesn't appeal to me personally. And also, like, if you choose to do that, that's totally fine. But I don't think it makes sense to do it at the loss of when it makes any amount of sense. Like, you're just like, oh, I want 30 pieces in my wardrobe because that's the number that makes me feel like, yeah, I'm a minimalist or whatever. Yeah.
For you, it's, you're thinking of like minimalism as a lifestyle concept rather than a decor.
Yeah, that's I think it is also separate from that. Like, I don't think minimalism as a design philosophy is necessarily even intrinsically linked to minimalism as a lifestyle choice, because it is they're rooted in two different things. They just have a similar same name.
Yeah, and like, they have the same name but a different meaning, which I think is what I'm trying to get at. Like, you're not defending the white supremacist part of it. That,
no,
like, there's just like a direct tie. Like, it's very easy to follow the signs, and I don't know enough to explain it to you. Like, that's an unfortunate part, is I'm still early enough in my understanding of that. But like, I worked at a company for a long time that like talked about like how important design was, and I'm like, it became so deeply clear to me in ways that like I have a hard time explaining like how much of it is like based in white supremacist ideals. But and like, you do run into that with minimalism culture as well,
right? Like, I do think there's a crossover there,
You could come at me and call me out when it comes to punk stuff, because specifically all of our capitalist nonsense and like the middle class is literally just to satiate people so that they don't rise against our oppressors. Like, that's literally why they created shopping, basically.
Yeah.
So that we don't go to the oil barons and be like, fuck you, pay me. Like, that's literally the origin.
Yeah, it's so, to give us a hobby that we can do while we work a 40-hour plus work week.
And give them our money back.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's great. I love it.
I did not expect this question would go into the deep philosophy of personal design versus, is it worth it to even spend the money on the design? What are the ethics of this? Love this for us. We can't help it. All right.
No, like, are you new to Fake Goth Girls as a concept? Or...
Welcome to. I'm so glad we skipped discussion this week, because Lord, we're a mess.
We've said this will be a shorter episode, it's been a goddamn lie.
I know, but I really thought, because I don't feel well, but apparently because I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks, I'm just like, let's talk forever. Let's move on to hashtag bless this mess, where we talk about the mess that is our personal lives. What's going on, Mia?
We were chatting about this, about like, when you feel really bad and your brain is like, ugh, I wish I was dead. And you realize like, oh, actually the problem was I was just bored or had to pee or I was hungry. Like, you just forgot, like, oh, I need to take care of my physical human body. And that made my brain think it wanted to die. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, because I think like, okay, so there's this thing with like being neurodivergent that you don't have this mind-body connection in the same way. Like, you don't pay attention to you can't, it's not that you don't pay attention to it, but you can't sense your body's needs as well. So I'm wondering
if sensory inputs are different.
Yes, exactly. I'm wondering if that plus like the depression that I definitely did have as a teen, and just like my general lack of being able to care for myself in the basic ways that I needed, is a lot of why I was suicidal. Is I'm like, wow, I had one negative emotion, time to die.
I think we talked about it on the podcast one time where I forgot to take Adderall and we went to the secondhand art store and I was just like, I want to kill myself. And you're like, you're just bored. I was like, oh.
Well, yeah, you had stopped looking around at stuff. Like, you'd already seen the whole store and I was still looking and you were like, God, I want to die. And I was like, yeah, you're just bored.
Yeah, and it was like not a bad thing. Like, I don't mind looking at stuff in a store while someone else shops. Like, I'm never the kind of person to be like, I want to go, I'm bored. But it was weird to me for my brain to be like, well, that's extreme.
Yeah. Why is that your answer to everything?
My partner had never experienced that feeling until this week.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? So
what happened?
They're having like a weirdly stressful week at work. It happens sometimes when you work with tech and things just like don't communicate right and everything just kind of like blows up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because he can feel feelings now, as we talked about, he started taking his CPAP and he feels feelings now.
Just amazing, like, what happens when your brain has oxygen.
The stress of the day really started getting to him, but like, it wasn't even like the stress, because in some points you can kind of tell like the stress is part of what motivates him. Like, even though it's bad for his health, he's still like, there's part of it he kind of enjoys, clearly. But like, it got so like hopeless, what I think is the word that he used for it. Like, the situation was just like so beyond his control, because there was just too many moving parts that he couldn't really take care of, because like, they had just all stacked up in such like a hilarious misadventure of frustration, right? Mm-hmm. That he was like, for the first time I felt so like hopeless and desolate that I just didn't want to exist. And he's like, I've never felt that feeling where it's just like, you're not even suicidal, you don't want to kill yourself, you just wish you weren't here. You wish was thing. If you died right now, things would just be so much easier. He's like, yeah, and I never experienced that till today. I was like, really? Because I experienced that every single day until I got on Adderall.
I can't imagine. Thumb, like, because he's also got depression. Like, mm-hmm. Can't really.
And probably autistic as well.
Yeah.
But like, he's not ADHD.
He's
sure.
Not new to brain stuff is what I'm saying. Yeah. So for him to have not experienced that before is fascinating to me.
Yeah. And for him to be like, oh, that's the feeling. And it's like, what? You don't get that? And I'm sure that made him understand me a lot more. That's like, I don't want to kill myself, I just wish I was dead. Like, those are different thoughts.
Wow. I never thought to explain it to a fellow weirdo. That's so fascinating. I mean, I feel bad that he's there, but also that, to me, that's a really good sign that he's like actually getting in touch with feelings and like understanding what's on the inside a little more, right?
I know, but it was just so wild to me that, like, because we tend to attract neurodivergence with the same like set of diagnoses, that like all of us get this feeling, because it's like I feel like it's probably like a mix of like ADHD and like probably a mix of ADHD, autism, and depression, right? Like, it's probably somewhere in there that like those three like really just easily create this feeling. Mm-hmm. And that, like, because I guess he doesn't have the exact same cocktail, that like it just doesn't come to him as quickly or easily. It was wild to me, because I obviously assume that we kind of go through most of the same stuff, except for the ADHD stuff, because again, he clearly doesn't have it. He's the only one out of our group that doesn't.
Yeah, which and cannot relate whatsoever.
So the stuff that I can tell is that I'm usually like, oh yeah, it makes sense, you don't understand this feeling. But, you know, he's been with me for a long time, so he obviously knows that, like, I often am like, I don't want to kill myself, but I do wish I was dead. And he's like, you shouldn't feel that way. For him to suddenly be like, oh, I see what you were feeling. I'm like, I don't like that you see what I was feeling. But yeah, see, it's not as bad as you think it is. That's just like, so I just wild. Wish I wasn't here right now.
That is so wild. I mean, damn. Like, and it makes sense to me that that's like an ADHD, more of an ADHD thing, just because it is like an impulse control thing. Like, your brain faces one obstacle and it just shuts down.
Rather than needing 78 to get anywhere close.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just so strange to me. And also, I sent you a TikTok of one person being like, life is horrible, I wish I was dead, everything is awful, I'm going to go kill myself. And then the next thing was just like, I had to pee with a thumbs up. Like, hashtag autistic. And I was like, God.
God, it's too real and I hate it. It kills me.
If only we had known earlier.
It's fine. Yeah. I still wouldn't be the same way that I am, so it's okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I wouldn't have... Despite everything, if I had known earlier, I still wouldn't have gotten the support I needed, because that's just not what was available at the time.
No, same. I needed all of this bullshit to be here.
Yeah. As much as I also lament like being diagnosed so late in life, it's like, oh, well, things weren't like a walk in the park for people our age who are diagnosed as kids either.
Yeah, no, I think I could really only deal with it being at this age, but it's still not fun.
Yeah. I've come to terms with it a little bit more, but yeah, it's so, especially because like the understanding of ADHD and other neurodivergence has like evolved so much. I would never have put two and two together about like you know how you're just kind of suicidal because you get bored? Like, that's not how they talked about it, like, when we were kids.
Yeah, no. If this is how it was talked about when we were kids, it might be different. But the way it was talked about when we were kids, absolutely not.
Yeah, and I did not have that presentation. So it makes total sense. But yeah, I still do mourn the loss anyway. What is your blessedness this week?
Okay, so we write little descriptions, and my description is the curse of capitalism and hustle culture on my dumb little brain, which is generally the ethos of this podcast.
The curse of capitalism is our subtitle.
But specifically, okay, the way that this world is functioning, and I know that like most neurotypes, especially mental illness rather than like neurotypes, are like only. Like, they're only villainized because they don't fit into, like, capitalist culture, especially with, like the reason autistic people are such, like, a thought of as a bad thing now is because we don't fit into the culture as well. Like, if we had a different culture that was built in a way that could accept multiple different neurotypes, like, there's a lot of assumptions that, like, depression and anxiety are actually more results of the society because they're much higher rates in, what was it called, like a post-capitalist economy or whatever. Like, there's a specific word for it. So, like, Japan, US, places like that where, like, this is, like, the culture, rather than places that have a different kind of, like, social structure that you see much lower rates of depression, right? So, I want to put that out there that I'm aware that this is not my own fault, but it's very frustrating that this is how my dumb little brain works, right? So I had to quit my job 2 years ago, 1 year ago, not sure anymore. Time is fake. Because I got really sick and I needed to quit my job so that I could be less sick. In my journey of sickness, I got 1,000 diagnoses and am now disabled by all means. My most recent diagnosis being autism, before that ADHD, like I did the mental health stuff last because that's the hardest shit anyways. And so now I'm at a point with this like general understanding of what's going on and working towards fixing my health. Because again, I left my job to fix my health because I am extremely lucky to be in a situation where I can. And A, not feeling guilt about that is extremely difficult. And I try to get over that every day. But I am in a situation where I am lucky enough that I get to take the time. And that's also why I find it very important for me to talk very openly and honestly about my journey, because if I can shortcut anyone else's journey, then that is a huge goal for me. I mean, I've shortcut your journey, I've shortcut your husband's journey, and I'll probably shortcut your kid's journey because I can take this time to do this. And that's why it's very important for me to be very open and honest about it.
Yeah, just talk to Liz for like 10 years and then they'll give you 2 correct diagnoses.
It's been more than 2. Thank you.
I am only agreeing with 2.
So all that said is that I'm at a point now where I've kind of done most of the base work. I still have a couple doctor's appointments I still need to make. It's mostly the skin doctor, which like I just don't want to because they're also beauty clinics and I don't want to deal with my feelings of fighting someone like that. And I'm sure you all understand.
Oh my God. Also, dermatologists are just little weirdos. Like, I'm sorry, I've not met a normal one. I had a normal one and then she moved and now I have a weird one again.
Yeah. Is it too hard for me? Like, can I Google a fat tattooed dermatologist? Cause that's what I want. If they have tattoos, I feel like they're a safe spot. Anyways. So I am at a point where I'm at like, okay, I'm currently trying to figure out how to work with my neurotypes, currently trying to figure out like, now that I know the autism, it makes it a little easier to go back and be like, okay, well, maybe this way of taking care of this illness isn't accessible to you based off the way your brain works. Mm-hmm. So that's really where I'm at. And I've been doing a ton of work on that. And A, that's invisible work. So it's really hard for me to see it as like valuable. It's kind of also another reason like the podcast came back, because I find this valuable because I know the people who follow this are people who are similar to us. And I'm, again, hoping to help shortcut some other people because I can take the time on this journey to learn this stuff. But I've been talking with my husband and like and everyone who listens to this podcast knows that like I've really like leaned in to be an illustrator. And have like, I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to become like try and become a career illustrator and try to make that like, because I think it's the only, it's really one of the very few careers I think will make me not die. Because long story short, basically because of my neurotypes, I couldn't take care of myself and maintain a normal job without masking so hard, I got sick because I couldn't pay attention to the actual signs. So if I'm really being honest with myself, returning to the kind of position I was in before, is it really accessible to me without creating a lot of accessible barriers, which I could do, but it just doesn't seem very smart. And so I've been trying to think of like, okay, well, what's a career you could do with these? Like, there's no guarantee I have this freedom to not work forever, right? And I can't, I've lost so much in my life. I can never be comfortable because of that. Like, I can never feel comfortable that I'm actually safe. So I always have to feel like I'm under pressure. And again, this is like the curse of capitalism and hustle culture on my dumb little brain. And so I have talked about like opening an Etsy shop, and I still want to do this eventually, but like opening an Etsy shop of like downloadables of like stuff I actually make that's good, that's well made, that I actually put love into, because there's just some stuff I see on there that I'm like, this is garbage and I can do better and I want to do better. But anytime I like try and like the other day, I tried to start and draw some. The two main ideas I have is either doing a Twitch goods shop or a printables shop, because those are the two things I like. I'm like, there could be better stuff out here. But I tried to draw some Twitch emotes and I'm just like, I'm just not feeling this. Like, I don't know. I just am not feeling this. Every time I try to sit down and draw them, I'm just not feeling it. And like, I've drawn them before and it felt good when I drew them before, but I'm just not feeling this. And I can't force this kind of art. I can't force this kind of art. Even though I want to force art that I could easily sell and could easily be resellable, that's the kind of art I wish I could make. It's just not something that I want to make 90% of the time. And sure, I can make it sometimes. And I could even have an Etsy shop that just has the stuff I make when I feel like it, because I had the like urge to make it, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't need to make it more than it is. But like, because I'm just like, oh, you need to make money because you like stuff and you can't rely on this forever, and like you have the ability, like I technically have the ability to make this stuff, right? Like, that's not arguable. I have the capability to make this stuff, but I don't necessarily have the will. And so I find myself very frustrated with myself that I'm unable to do it. And so because I have these ideas of like what could make me money, I get very frustrated when I do anything else. And so right now, I'm working on a little art piece that I just felt inspired to draw. If any of you guys watch Taskmaster, the current season has a Scottish comedian, Fern Brady, on it. And she's very funny, very autistic, and very bisexual. So obviously I love her.
She's my wife.
Her outfit is very, her outfit is, when you see her, you're like, oh, this is an autistic bisexual woman. Like, that's the best way I can explain it. It's like fucking casual fetish gear, which if any of you know anything about my fashion sense, my favorite thing in the world is casual fetish gear. It's not even casual. It's just fetish gear. I love it. I love it so much. I felt so inspired. I was like, I really want to draw this. So I started drawing this. It's also got like iridescence. I was like, oh, this will be a really good way for me to practice like drawing iridescence. Anytime I sit down and draw on it, I'm so into it. I do it for 3 hours straight and it's set only 3 a.m. Like, everything about making this piece I'm enjoying. And this has been the case. I had a friend have me make some pieces for a charity event they were running recently. And so that same thing is, I would just like, I spent like 3 days just like going in and making them and loving every part of making them and being like, this is really fun because I feel inspired by making like little fucking illustrations. And I'm just like, you dumb bitch, this is the art you like making, right? It's very clear that this is the kind of art that you like making, that you naturally make. It makes your brain happy. But you keep trying to force yourself to do stuff because you know it'll make money and you know it'll have an impact, but it's not the stuff you want to do. And you're falling into the exact same traps that you would have fallen in before, just with something else that you enjoy. So why are you trying to like do that to yourself? And so I'm just like so frustrated with myself that like legitimately I have found myself drawing this drawing and being like, you're wasting your time. What are you doing? You could be drawing something more useful. And like, that's just simply not true. Because the honest reality is that like, the kind of art I do, I'm probably at a point where I'm good enough that I could have an agent, but I don't have a good enough portfolio. Like, I don't have a large enough portfolio to really show off my work. So actually, the best thing I could be doing in the world is drawing stuff I like all day to put in a portfolio to be like, this is my fucking work, right? And I'm just like, why are you so cursed that you can't even like do the journey stuff. Like, it's not even that I'm doing anything wasteful. I'm doing something where I'm like actively trying to learn a new skill. Like, I even picked, like, I even wanted to draw this outfit because I didn't know how to color something and how to make something look a certain way. So I wanted to draw this to learn a thing. In addition, like, one of the main things I really want to get to do in my art journey is to design either like a tour poster, or mostly a tour poster for a comedian. Like, I really want to do that. That's on my bucket list, is to get to illustrate something for a comedian. Do you know what the best way for comedians to know you exist as an illustrator is? Draw comedians and then post it.
Literally,
like,
fan.
Why am I
literally, like, that's like, also like a lot of the niches, like wrestling, like drag, like that's where they, podcasts even, that's where they get their art, is it's fan art and then they license it a lot of the time, or it's fan art, yeah, and then they hire you to do something.
And like, the whole thing is like, you have to put yourself out there to shoot your shot. And so like, the fact that like, and I'm almost at a point where I'm getting okay with this, and like, but the fact it's taken me this long and this whole journey to get to the point that like, actually the stuff you like to draw is the stuff you should be drawing. Stop forcing something else on yourself. But because it feels good, it feels good. Guess what? I enjoy drawing this. I can get lost in this for hours. I had my video game open while drawing this and was ignoring my video game to draw it because I was having more fun doing that because I enjoy it more. Because I enjoy it, I feel like such this like, and it's definitely like the Protestant ethic and like the American Calvinist ethos of like, you can't have joy in life or else you're doing it wrong. But like, because I'm already so fucking blessed in life to like not have to work, I feel like there's like this almost addiction to work, having to feel punishing to feel like I'm actually doing anything.
It's so funny how much you're trying to make like yourself do something you don't like to do to earn money, when the thing that you do like to do could also just earn you money. Like, you're
and
so
also
resistant.
Literally
to that.
Has.
Yes. You're so resistant to just like, also, because you're not in a place where you need to make a certain amount of money, that's like the best place to try making money off the thing you like instead of the thing you have to do for money, which is what I think. I don't think a lot of the folks that make the printables are super passionate about it. I'm sorry if you are an Etsy shop owner and you sell printables and you are passionate about it, but I think a lot of times it's just like, oh, I know that this will sell because people have weddings and they have a budget and they want to like make a little sign and not have to make it themselves. That's why I've bought them, is for like weddings and baby showers and related events.
Yeah. And the reason I want to make them is because I get frustrated with the options you have.
They are so bad. Not all of them, but a good amount of them. Or like, they'll have good graphics but bad font. Like, it's very rare to
or
find
just
one.
So gender. Just so, so gender. There's not enough queer options.
Unbelievably gender. The amount of stuff in the baby shower pack I bought that I had to either just completely exclude or change. It was like, we're ridiculous, y'all. But yeah, like, you're not allowing yourself to even explore the possibility of like, a thing I like could make me money has made me money, which is wild. Like, you are just self-punishing.
It's so wild to like kind of come to the realization that like, you're the problem here.
Oh no, is it me? Am I the drama?
It's like, okay, let's look at this from an outside perspective logically. Which, mind you, there's in no world where my husband has given me any thing to say that I need to make money. This is all me. There's been at no point. In fact, when I quit my job, the thing he said, you need to learn how to take care of your health and then you can focus on your art. There was never anything about making money. The only time that I have to make money is if we're in a position where I need to make money, which is just not the case right now, right? Like, we can take sacrifices before I need a job, right? And so, not to say that that would be the first option, but like, that's the truth. It's like, there are plenty of sacrifices we can make first before I'd have to take on a job. So even then, like, it's so fucked up of me to be in such a privileged space and not even appreciate it in many ways.
No, but I think that's why. Like, I think this is how you are avoiding acknowledging it, is by trying to make it less good for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that like, I feel so much guilt. I feel so much guilt, period. And it's not a useful thing. Like, what do I feel guilty about that I'm just lucky enough that it's because work was so bad for me and work was so hard for me. And it's so punishing that I think that that's true for everyone else. And I think to a degree it is. No one enjoys work, but I don't think it almost brings people to death like it did for me.
Right. And you instead of being able to accept that this is your reality, that you live in this situation, which, like, yeah, is privileged, yeah, is lucky, is all those things. But instead of being able to accept it, you're like, okay, so how can I make it worse on myself?
Yeah, basically. And it's just so fucked that, like, the system that we have makes me feel this way when, like, none of these are useful feelings. None of these are helping anything. If anything, they're harming anything. If anything, they're keeping me away from spending time doing the thing I like that actually could be useful, you know? But no, I have to just be like, you fucking loser, why didn't you create an entire Etsy shop this week? Because you didn't want to.
And that's literally why. Okay. Like, I hate that for you because I would also do the same thing. I've noticed that in times where I have a decent break from work, I am hard on myself for not, like, relaxing hard enough in one way or another. Like, how dare you not read every book that's ever been on your list or play every video game you haven't played over the last 5 years or whatever, you know? Like, it just sucks that, like, you can't even have patience with yourself in a situation where that is literally your job. Your job is to be nice to yourself.
Yeah, it's just, like, it is wild how we have been conditioned, because I know this is not natural, man. It's just not.
No, that's also straight up not who you would be, like, without any outside intervention, right? Like, you, yeah. Your personality is not like, gotta hustle. But then
no.
When hustle culture, like, happens, it is like that. But, like, you know, there are people who naturally are like, yeah, I wake up at 6 a.m. and I read my self-help books and blah, 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 blah. And, like, they may be like that even without the outside influence. But, yeah, you're just that's not you. You're meant to have, like, pleasant experiences. There's, like, this viral tweet or maybe it was on Instagram or something. And it's like, why are we talking about jobs? I want whatever this is. And it's the Winnie the Pooh characters, like, sitting around a table and just talking, drinking a tea.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm not put on this world to care about that stuff. I'm put on this world to survive and enjoy everything else.
And also make art, because that's literally who you are at your core.
Yeah, it's just, it really is. And I mean, I'm glad that I'm finally starting to come to a point where, like, I can feel comfortable being who I am, liking what I like and doing all this. But I'm curious to see where, like, these conversations go in the next 5 to 10 years as well. Because I think the Obama administration in general was kind of like a golden age, but I think it cursed a lot. I mean, it did factually curse a lot of millennials, and a lot of us, like, have a curse on us about finances till we die. But also with the internet as well, and seeing, especially, I'm curious what Gen Alpha is going to grow up with having their, like, work ethic, their attitude towards these things, because they're always going to grow up in an algorithmic world. That, like, they'll likely have a much easier time rejecting it in a way that, like, both millennials and Gen Z cannot.
I mean, one can hope.
Because, like if you look at, like, speaking, you'll know where this trigger comes from. So if you look at, like, hackers for the past, like, since hacking's been a thing, each generation kind of has, like, a different thing they do. So you have, like, a little bit of, like, younger Gen X, older millennial, you have, like, the hacktivism, right? Like, that was, like, the big thing that hackers did. Nowadays, the main thing hackers do is money. It's all financial based. Stealing people's passcodes and buying shit with it.
Oh, how dare you? I did not know where this was going. I do not know how.
So that's a lot of what, like, hacking is these days, is financially based. And, like, because so much of, like, because of the internet is, like, visual. I have to show off what I have. I have to have the best, coolest thing. I have to have the Supreme, whatever. Like, and I mean Supreme the brand, not just, like, as a concept.
I would like the Crunchwrap Supreme.
Hell yeah. But yeah, it's just, it's interesting to say the way that, like, because our culture is now so visual, in a way that it's so much worse than it. Because it was always been this way, right? Like, you always use things to show off how much money you make, how much, how successful you are. But like, it just wasn't like this in the 90s. And I know I was a kid, but it also just wasn't like this in the 90s.
Well, we didn't have so much access as well, like,
yeah,
to each other. So even if it was like, oh, the Keeping Up with the Joneses, like, I don't know, cars are a good example because I know nothing about them. So this is the most I will say is like, oh, cars. But like, yeah, like, having the new flashy car, having the new flashy thing. But now it's also like lifestyle. Like, what do you do when you wake up? What's your morning routine? What do you do afterward? Yeah. Like, now we have all this like window into our daily lives in a way we did not have before.
And also, like, before it was so localized, so at least you were usually within like your same like economic range and your like same cultural range, which we don't have as much anymore. So you have a lot of people trying to be of a culture and economic stature that they're not. And this is such a stupid reason that made me start thinking about this a lot, but it was Bob's Burgers, which I don't know if you've seen enough episodes, but I'll explain it for anyone anyways, because it's a podcast. Is that, so you have Bob, who's a working class man, has family, has, you know, a burger shop, right? And across the street is a more successful man who has about the same family makeup, but his restaurant's more successful. He always has slightly nicer things. And, you know, it actually, like, it reminded me of when I was in high school and years before we showed off on the internet, because like social media was barely a thing and not everyone had access to the internet when I was in high school, because I'm ancient. there were kids that had restaurants in our towns, and different kids had better restaurants, and like they did have different like social status because of that, right? And so it was all like localized within our own town. And so like also our town only had a certain amount of money to go around in it. So like the like most like at the time, this is not true in my hometown anymore. There's actually like actual billionaires there for weird reasons. But at the time, like the fanciest car you might see would be like a Hummer. And so having a Hummer was this.
Oh my that's God, still I forgot like, about Hummers. Holy shit, that's a time machine right there.
Yeah, but like, so that was like still within like the economic range of the whole town. And like, it was like, even though you were showing off your car at home, you don't necessarily have to show off. And now it also feels like you have to show off your home. Just a lot of weird stuff about cars. I'm really curious to see how the next 10 years goes, because I mean, there has to be, this isn't sustainable. There has to be some sort of abject reduction of it or failure of it, or.
Yeah. I mean, I think whatever. We're making progress, but yeah, I'm curious about, especially like I see my friends, my peers that are also parents, and how we're raising our kids, which is Gen Alpha, which by the way, a lot of people do not know that Gen Alpha is that generation. And that is fair, because why would you? I had to look it up when my kid was born. But just like seeing how we parent and seeing like the things that we teach versus the things that my parents taught and the things that like the generation before us found important. It's very interesting. And I think we're at an interesting cultural crossroads. But then again, probably everybody feels that way during their time as well.
I mean, it's true. You always are.
Yeah,
always
that's is. The thing. And especially right now, where I am,
society.
I can see the past and I can see the future. So that's why I'm excited about it. Like, I feel like I understand the context enough to be excited and look forward to the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think being aware that you're aware is sometimes annoying.
That's literally the definition of almost all my mental illnesses. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I mean, it is interesting to think of where we're like, you always want to make things better and improve. And hopefully for the next generation, they'll be happy, healthier, and more well put together. And I think for the most part, that's been true. I mean, I think that like, yeah, I just think each generation is a little better, and we all have our own crosses to bear, and we all have our own stuff. But there's also good stuff, and we make a lot of improvements, and we take care of each other, and we try, and there's some wars, but it's fine. Also, if you just like are more interested on children on the internet, I believe it was what's the name of it? No, There Are No Girls on the Internet, I believe, recently did a podcast about internet safety with children, which I know is a passionate subject for a lot of you, because we do have a lot of parents who listen to this. So if you are interested, I'd recommend it. It's a good episode, just talking to, and it's not like judgmental if you do choose to show your child or don't choose to show your child. It's just like, this is a conversation we should be having. Let's talk about it. So yeah, if that's something that interests you, that's a cool episode.
Hell yeah.
All right. Now, let's move on to the tastemaker, where we recommend something that we've been enjoying lately. And this week, Mia is your tastemaker.
It's me. I definitely thought we would talk more about Halloween.
I did too.
Spooky
kind
stuff.
Kind of fucked up, didn't we?
I mean, whatever. It's fine. We still have one more episode, right? So, do we?
No.
What is time? Anyway, whatever. My recommendation for this week is Chainsaw Man. It is an anime that is currently coming out. It's based off of a manga, which was very popular, so you might have heard of it from the manga. And the anime just started, so as of recording, there are two episodes. The third one will come out this Tuesday. So by
Wait. I did not realize. I thought it was second season. I did not realize.
No, it just started.
Manga's actually legitimately very popular then, huh?
Oh, yeah. And like... Yeah, so it's hugely popular. It is not my usual taste and like genre because it does have like some gore elements. I have not read the manga. I'm only watching the anime, and I'm watching it because my partner was like, "I really want you to watch it because I think it's good enough. I think you're going to enjoy it that you can like, you know, get past some of the gore stuff that's not your favorite." Which like I don't even mind gore, but sometimes it can be like excessive.
Yeah.
And also I need creepy things to have a point at the end, and sometimes they don't. We've talked about this. So far, I'm very much enjoying it. We're only two episodes in. The third one comes out Tuesday. So by the time this comes out, there will be three episodes, which means it's a great time to hop in and see if you like it. It's on Crunchyroll. So if you have Crunchyroll, that's where it's at, or Funimation, because they're now one company, which is wild. But yeah, I really recommend it. It's great spooky vibes. Like I'm glad it started in October because I was already in the mood for something kind of creepy. And also there's a very cute dog in it, and that's really all you need to know.
Yeah, that's my main understanding of Chainsaw Man is Pochito.
Yeah, and also aka Chainsaw Dog. So like literally that's the main reason I wanted to watch, and 10 out of 10 is very cute.
Got chainsaw for a nose. I have that to offer to this conversation.
It's really
maybe I will watch it. I feel like that's accessible to me.
Yeah. I don't know if the dub is out because I know you're more of a dub person than a sub person. So I don't know if they're simulcasting like each week with the dub as well,
because
or if
that's they're with Funimation. Probably Funimation usually does for a big anime like this. So
okay, yeah. So yeah, check that out. It's really good, and also you'll be on the cutting edge of anime culture right now.
But I still don't know what Spy X Family is.
Oh, I don't either. And so also, I did learn recently that if there's an X, it's usually not pronounced. So like Hunter X Hunter is actually Hunter Hunter. So I think it's just Spy Family.
You know, I know that because X is often used in a lot of goth shit too. Like a lot of the goth stuff from even our days. But I mean, I can't be bothered.
I think it's funny.
Why put it there?
I think it's funny.
I guess it's supposed to be like Spy times Family.
But it's not, because then you would say times.
Yeah, like letters for. I'm too practical for this.
Yeah, why is there a silent letter? This is why I could never learn French.
A silent solo letter. There's no need for this.
Literally.
Why is it alone in the middle?
Literally.
Oh, God. I feel like Seinfeld right now, which is never a good feeling to
What's
have.
The deal with silent letters?
Oh, my God. Okay, this is unrelated to anything. The other day I saw a fucking video of Seinfeld, and I was like, I'm so glad I am too young for this, because I would have been attracted to Seinfeld and I would have a lot of things to repent for because of that.
Oh, yikes. I definitely was a Seinfeld kid. Like, I grew up watching it and know every episode, but I did not have a crush on
I'm just so
anyone.
Weak for funny guys with big noses. So
I do love a big nose. I don't know why our culture decided noses are bad, because I love a big characteristic nose.
It's I don't understand anti-Semitism. Very pro-Semite. Don't know what to tell you. I mean, he's not Jewish, but I did literally have pictures of Steve Carell on my wall as a teenager, and he has the biggest nose.
I dated someone with a rather large nose, and he used to joke that he could shelter wildlife underneath it.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, so also you are a caring, loving person? Got it.
Cute. All right. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to follow us on the internet, you can follow me at Liz Luxley and at heyliz.com.
And you can follow me at exomiamore and exomia.com. And to leave you on some food for thought for the week, this tweet comes from gent_Victoria. Victoria Gent MAS. Be punk. Be a nonconformist. Wear a mask at a hospital. Wear a mask on mass transit. Wear a mask in public spaces. Stay spooky, y'all. Bye.